Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I appreciate your friendship as well. You got so much junk up here. Can we? We talked last night about all the clutter. The clutter in the house of God. We need to get, I mean, we got CDs and we got postcards and we got clocks that don't work and pens and all kinds of stuff here. But anyhow, I guess I feel comfortable if I can tease him like that, right? I better be careful. He's not giving me the love offering yet, so I better mind my P's and Q's. There's a love offering. I've given him 5 days of my life. You'd think there'd be something, right? But I'm just teasing. It's been my joy, my delight to be here with you now for these days. And hard to believe it's almost over. But I've enjoyed Sunday. I've enjoyed the conference last night, today. Wasn't that great to see all of those school kids filling up this section right over there? That's the future. Amen. And so thankful for Lighthouse Baptist Academy. And thankful for all those teachers. And I'm glad that you did what you did about to recognizing those teachers before they skedaddled today. And, you know, often I've had large Christian schools over the years, and particularly some of these single girls that just give their lives to teach the young people. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. And to see so many pastors that were here today and the luncheon. Boy, I tell you what, that was some good eating. Amen. I almost thought we were down south, right, Brother Allison? I was good eating down there and enjoyed that. Thank you for being back tonight. And if you're a part of Lighthouse, you got to put up with me one more evening, okay? So tomorrow night in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll kind of wrap this thing up. And it has been my delight and my joy to be here with you. As you're turning in the Word of God tonight to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I want to say just a few things, if I might, to piggyback off of last evening as I was preaching. I mentioned dear friends of mine, or this may have been on Sunday when I said this, but dear friends of mine that are here this evening, Brother Ron and Kay Shank, and they drove up today from Clear Spring, Maryland, and they were with us in the service this morning, and they've gotten a hotel to stay overnight so they could be here for this evening. And Brother Ron and I got to serve for 9 years at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And he was the chairman of the Board of Deacons. And as the Lord led me to a very broken and hurting church back in 2012, 2013, and Brother Ron was there on that board. He was one of the men that kind of helped to extend the call for me to come. And it was a five-month process of really fighting the Lord on leaving a place where I'd been for 18 years. I did not want to leave, did not need to leave, did not have to leave. Things were wonderful. We had just built new buildings, and it had been a wonderful 18-year tenure. But God made it very clear that I was supposed to come to Shenandoah. And this is the kind of man right here that I wish every pastor would be able to serve with on the deacon board. What an encourager, what a prayer, a spiritually minded man. We have had one cross word, never one argument, never a pushback. And like you said last night, Doc, not just a yes man, not a yes man, a man that speaks his word. And when we would have deacons meetings and I wanted their opinions and thoughts, he would speak up. But he always had a heart for God and a heart for ministry. And we were able to do great things for 9 years, Brother Ron. And I appreciate your friendship still. And I was mentioning on Sunday, he was the first one that I told that God had been working in my heart about resigning and leaving after 9 years. I'm glad he's still my friend that he came to hear me preach again tonight. Amen. So I think we did some things the right way. And I give God all the glory for that. Well, let's come to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 15, 16, and 17. Let's just jump right into the passage tonight. And I don't think I'll be as lengthy this evening, tonight. I know I'm the first preacher. I have some things I'd like to say, and then I'm going to step out of the road so that Doc Allison can come and to finish out our service tonight. Look with me, please, at verse number 15. And we'll tie just a little bit of this in from the sermon this morning. We talked a little bit about Paul and Timothy. Obviously, Paul is writing now about Timothy, to Timothy, and he says, "And that from a child thou hast known thee," would you read the next two words, church? "The Holy Scriptures,
which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All, next word, church, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Father, I ask you now to help us as we come to this Tuesday evening of the Bible conference. And Lord, I'm thankful for those who have been here every service, those who were faithful on Sunday at Lighthouse, and Lord, the great workforce that is here. Lord, I've been blessed by the music here. Thank you for the choir members and the special music folks. And thank you for Brother Walsh and his love for good, godly music and to be well done and be done first class. And but Lord, all honor and glory always belongs to you. And Lord, it just amazes me that you'd want to rescue a sinner like any of us. And we thank you for that great song that prepared our hearts. Lord, thank you for everything that's done now to bring that's been done to bring us now to this point. And now we want to give magnification to the Word of God through preaching. Lord, I pray that you would bless now these thoughts that you've given me to give. And I pray that we'll all be better because of our coming this evening. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. For whatever reason, the Lord has really directed me as I prayed and over the last many months, knowing I would be here at this conference, about what sermons or direction that I would go. And obviously last evening I felt very impressed for a very sobering message about the book from which we'll preach again tonight. And I just felt as if even this second sermon needed to kind of in some way dovetail to this concept of the importance of the Bible. Tonight I want to give you a message that I've entitled The Manuscript of the Church. What is the manuscript of the church? The Lord has allowed me over the years to plant a few churches in my various tenures of ministry and other places, and particularly in Ohio, we were able to plant three churches in those years. And what a great thing it is to see a young congregation come to life, to find a new pastor and be able to kind of work with him and support him. And in really all of those cases sent out, as you said, 26 people sent out of your church over those years. Many times preacher boys that you have ministered to and that you've invested in, and very much like Paul and Timothy here, and then sending them out to start churches. And in the various times and places where we've done that, where I've been able to be a part of some of the early meetings or what we often called get acquainted meetings, where we would have already gone to a place and already saturated a town, and obviously this was months and months, sometimes a couple of years in the making and developing all of the infrastructure and the man of God coming and the John and Romans and the gospel tracts and all of these things and all the door knocking and thousands of doors to be hit and mass mailings that would go out. And all of this to try to get the word out that a brand new church was coming to that town. And on a few occasions, I've been able to preach a series of messages at these what we call get acquainted meetings. And this would just be folks in the community that have received maybe one of the John and Romans or a knock on the door, or they saw something on Facebook and they're just a little, they're maybe looking for a church and maybe they're unsaved and they're just drawn to come because of the gospel and the drawing and the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. And those are some amazing meetings. And you never know what you're going to get in those meetings. And often other churches would come and bring in and bring choirs or ensembles or special music. And what a great camaraderie of churches coming together for the cause of Christ. How many of you believe churches ought to come together for the cause of Christ? Amen. And sometimes I think we're so independent, we are too independent of each other, you know, and we need each other, especially those of us that are on the same page. But I say all of that to say that there was a series of messages, and usually this was like a 5-day meeting, and we would start on Sunday, and we'd go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then that last night turn it over to the pastor that was going to be taking that church and starting that church, and we were just trying to really lay a great foundation. And I say all of that to say that one of the messages that I would preach would be something along these lines of what is the book that is going to be used as the foundation for this church. Now, how many of you know that in Timothy, the Bible calls the church the pillar and the ground of the, talk to me, the truth? Well, how many of you also know that the Bible calls itself the Word of Truth, right? 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15. Jesus said it this way, sanctify them through thy word is truth. So if we're going to build a church, we want to make sure that it's built on the right foundation. Take your Bible and go with me to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter number 3. Now, we'll be coming back to 2 Timothy in just a moment. But, of course, 1 Corinthians 3 is this great classic passage about the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, while you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I've had the privilege in many years of pastoring to have some building programs, and sometimes they were additions onto the facilities that we already had. But back in 2005, the Lord led us as our church had grown to the place we had outgrown our facilities and buildings and properties, and the county wasn't going to let us build anything else. And so by faith, we purchased 48 acres of farm ground and had to bring all of the utilities in and went to the architect, and it was brand new, 41,000 square foot, two-story building, and raised $1 million over a three-year giving campaign and selling the property. And I remember all of those days of when that site work began to be done, and all the bulldozers coming in and moving the dirt around, and this is where the parking lot's going to be, and this is then where they're going to be the outline of the building. They called it the footprint, you know, of the building. And I'll never forget when they started digging what we call the footers, right? Digging the outline of that big old slab of concrete that's eventually going to be there. And I was surprised how deep they had to go down in those footers and how wide that dirt had to be dug out. Why? Because it was going to have to hold the weight of an enormous superstructure of this building. Well, such is the case spiritually speaking. And my friends, if we are going to know what the pillar and ground of the truth is, and if the truth is the Word of God, then we need to also dig it very, very deep and understand that it is our, here's the word, foundation. Now look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, would you? And the Bible says in verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's, what's the next word there? God's building. I was just telling you physically of a physical structure. And he says, look, you are God's building. He goes on to say, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. But let's all read verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is... Now watch. So if we know the Word is to be our foundation, is the pillar and the ground of the truth, and the Bible here says that the foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. Now watch. Let's logic together. If Jesus is the Word, that means Jesus is the foundation. Amen? And if Jesus is the foundation, that means His Word is what we stand upon, right? If we're going to have a church, we got to build it on the right foundation. So what is the manuscript, if we'll say it that way? What's the manuscript of the church? What's the book? Is it going to be a church constitution? Is it going to be a Sunday school quarterly from Nashville and the Southern Baptist Convention somewhere? Is it going to be some book that the preacher writes? Or is it going to be some document that the church comes up with? No, my friend. And those other things may have a place. But my friend, the only foundation that is going to last through the test of time is the foundation of the Word of God. And that's why the Word of God is so important in any church, whether it's a brand new church or a church like this one that's been around for a couple of decades. And so tonight, I'd like to just give you some thoughts here about this manuscript of the church, this Bible that we preached about and the importance of it last evening. I'd like to give you a few more very practical thoughts, if I could. So let's take our Bibles and let's get back to the text in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I think I have four or five thoughts here I'd like to give to you tonight about what the Scripture does. What does the Scripture give to us? This manuscript, if we say that the church is founded on the Word of God, then we must know what is the Word of God trying to do in us? What is the Word of God trying to do through us? What is the Word of God trying to do to us? Amen. That could be a whole other sermon, right? I should write those things down. That's a three-point outline right there, right? So if the Word of God is important to the church, should the Word of God be important to you? Yes or no? Yes. Absolutely. So I want to look at some things that the Word, the manuscript, we're calling what the Word of God will do for us. Let's go back, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. We read it a moment ago. He's talking about Timothy here, kind of giving a little bit of Timothy's testimony. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee, watch the phrase, wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, Scripture produces salvation. How do you know that you're saved tonight? Is it a feeling? Is it a prayer that you prayed? Is it some emotion that you had at some point? Is it that you turned over some leaves in your life? You stopped doing some old stuff and you started doing some new stuff? Is salvation produced because you came and sat in a church pew? Are you saved because you got in a baptistry tank back there? Are you saved because you went into some confessional booth in some denomination in the past and confessed your sins to a priest? Or is your salvation produced because of what you know the Bible says about salvation? If you're saved any other way than through Jesus Christ, or think you're saved, then you aren't. Amen? Why? Because the Scripture is what will produce salvation. Notice how he says it here in verse number 15. He says, look, Timothy, I want you to remember the holy scriptures that you have been given since you were a child. They were able to make thee wise unto salvation. Notice that, wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to take your Bible. We're coming back to 2 Timothy, but go with me, please, if you will, to the book of Romans. I'm going to do a little bit more preaching tonight here. We're going to go to some other passages, and so I want you to follow along with me, please. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 8. And again, we're tying all of this in to the Word of God. The Scripture produces salvation. How did you know? You're going to Romans 10. How did you know that you were a sinner? Because the Bible tells us we are. How do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? Because the Bible tells us so. Amen? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me, right? The Bible is what gives us the understanding and the teaching. I stand upon the Word of God. And so all of these things, how do I know there's a heaven? Because the Bible teaches it. How do I know there's a hell? Because the Bible teaches it. And you can't believe in one without believing in the other. Amen? You see, the manuscript of the church produces salvation. Look at Romans chapter 10, please, verse number 8. Paul says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, notice this, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt, not might, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, notice that, verse 11, the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Let's all read verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, how do you know you're saved tonight? Because the Bible says if you're a whosoever, if you believe, if you have faith and the word of faith unto salvation, then you are saved. According to the Word of God. Amen? Not according to how you feel. Not according to if you think you can keep it or not. Because you didn't do anything to get it. You can't do anything to keep it. Come on now. Because the Bible teaches us of what it is that produces salvation. Let's continue reading in verse 17. Same passage. He then goes on to say, so then faith. Now that's the faith we find back in verse 8, right? The word of faith which we preach. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the, talk to me church, the word of God. So watch. The first thing the Bible does, the first thing the manuscript does is it produces salvation. There is not salvation without the word of God giving us the truth about how to be saved and who Jesus is. And how it is that we place our faith in Christ, and what does belief mean, and where does repentance play into all of this? And we use the word conversion, and what does that mean? Look, it doesn't have to, watch, it doesn't have to confuse you. The Bible makes it super clear if we'll just read it. So the first thing I want to say tonight about the Word of God is that it produces salvation. Let's go back to our text. The second thing I'd like you to see is that Scripture proceeds from the sovereign. Scripture proceeds from the sovereign. We're back in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Is this my water? Is this the one I can have right here? Let's go back to 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16. That great passage, very familiar. The Bible says all Scripture is given by, next word please, church, inspiration of who? And is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Scripture proceeds from the sovereign. From where do we get the Scripture? Well, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, again, in a single sermon here tonight, we could preach series on the inspiration of Scripture and how we got our Bible, and we could talk about the manuscripts, and we could talk about how it's been preserved through all these generations. I'll just give you three words, just very simple tonight. Number one, I'd like you to see revelation. Secondly, I'd like you to see inspiration. And thirdly, I'd like you to see preservation. We talked a little bit about this last evening. How that in our day and age, many are casting aspersion and doubt upon our old King James Bible, and many are moving away from it. Well, the words are all archaic, and we just really can't understand it, and even some are getting into the whole manuscripts and different places from where they've come, and casting doubt upon whether or not we have a Bible or not. Well, number one, it was given by revelation of God. We know that inspiration of God. We know that God reveals. That's what the Bible is. It's God revealing His heart, His mind to us. It's writing it down in a book so that we can know what God's mind and what God's heart is, what God's commands are, what God's intentions are. All of this was very clearly given by revelation of God. Secondly, it was given then by inspiration of God. It was actually breathed by the Holy Ghost. That's what the word inspiration actually means. Watch. And the Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Peter didn't write just what Peter wanted to write, and Paul didn't write just what Paul wanted to write, but God used these individual men and these personalities and all of their backgrounds, but they were moved, the Bible says. Even David in the Old Testament, it talks about how that he spake by the Holy Spirit. So I'm saying to you that we not only have a revealed Bible, we have an inspired Bible. Well, what's that do for us? We also have a preserved Bible. The Bible says that God's words will be preserved unto every generation. How many believe in 2023 we still have a copy of God's word somewhere? Absolutely we do. So we've got to understand, and we've got to kind of nail down here tonight, that Scripture not only produces salvation, but it is proceeding from the sovereign. Here's what I mean. This book came from God. This book is not man's book. This book is not a church book. This book is God's book. Amen. So if it's God's book, I think I probably ought to take some time to read it. If it's God's book, I probably ought to take some time to memorize it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God, right? I might, if it's God's book, I might ought to start obeying it. I might ought to start living by it. Let's not look at me, friend. Let's not just give it lip service. Let's just not say we believe the Bible. Let's practice that we believe the Bible. So tonight we're talking about the importance of this book, this manuscript. It produces salvation. It proceeds from the sovereign. Number three, it profits the saints. Let's keep reading our same text there. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now watch, and is profitable. That word profitable there means it's useful. It's advantageous. It's good for you. Remember when your mom used to give you medicine that tastes like tar, but she would say, but it's good for you, right? Amen? Eat your broccoli because it's good for you. Hey, there are some things that maybe don't taste good when it goes down, but it's good for you. The Word of God is like that, right? You know why? Because in our message here, it's profitable to the saints. He says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. How many of you know if you're going to go to a church that's a Bible preaching church, you're going to get all four of those on a regular basis? Amen. I'm going to stop and say, hey, when your preacher stands up someday and says, now we're going to talk about the doctrine of the virgin birth, don't say, Snoozeville, huh? I've heard this before, you know, it's Christmas time, do you understand how important the doctrine of the virgin birth is, friends? If Jesus was not born of a virgin, he was not the sinless, perfect Son of God. Look, in some of the other versions or perversions, they say a young woman shall be with child. No, Isaiah 7:14 said it was a virgin shall be with child. Right. Words mean something, friends. So when we start changing the Word of God, and you can't because God's Word is always preserved, but when we start messing with the Word of God and cutting out what we don't like and what we don't agree with, you're dealing with doctrine so often. So in a good church, you're going to have doctrine that is preached to you. The second thing you're going to get is some reproof. Sometimes preaching brings reproof. Reproof and correction, those two things go together. You're going to read them right there. It's profitable. It's useful for you. How did I define it? It's good for you. Watch. Can I say it this way? It's good for you sometimes during Bible preaching to get your toes stepped all over in a sermon. In fact, sometimes let's just stick our feet out and say, just stomp on them, preacher. I need it tonight. Amen? Don't get mad at the preacher when he takes a passage of the Word of God that's going to ruffle your feathers just a little bit. Take that as thank you, Spirit of God, for bringing correction through the book. Amen. Amen. But people are leaving churches like ours because they don't want to be told what's right or wrong. Well, my friend, that's why we're in such a shape we are tonight. That's why Christianity is in the mess that it's in, because we don't allow the saints to be profited by doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Number four, I'd like to say that Scripture perfects the servant. Let's keep reading. Look at 2 Timothy 3. He goes on to say in verse number 17, I love this. He says that the man of God, now I know Paul's talking to Timothy here, and the inspiration of the Scriptures is giving us a great indication, really, of what I preached about this morning, of that mentoring process, and Paul was teaching the young preacher boy here, and he says, now, Timothy, here's what the Bible is going to do for you. Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect. The preacher said it last evening. He was talking about Job. Wasn't that a great, great sermon on Job last night? If you weren't here last night, you need to go back online. You need to listen to that sermon. That was awesome. He talked about Job being a perfect and upright man. Well, obviously, we know it doesn't mean sinless, because we know that human beings are not sinless, right? So the word perfect, as we see it, it means mature. It means that there's been a level of growth in our lives that has caused us to see things maybe even through the eyes of God instead of our own eyes. We're perfect. We're a little more mature. How many of you would agree the older you get, the better you see through the eyes of wisdom, right? You see through experience. You see how the world is. That's why young people need parents, right? That's why teenagers need a youth pastor. That's why Christians need a pastor that is an elder, right? That is a little aged, not just in age, but in maturity, in spiritual growth, in the ability to take the Word of God and bring it to us so that it helps us to do what? To be perfect. Verse 17 again, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Hey, this way. The Bible will give you everything you need for your life. Thoroughly furnished. Hey, it's like going in and getting, picking out all the pieces of furniture, right? You're furnishing your house. You're picking out the color scheme and all of the... Hey, can I tell you what is going to best suit you in your life? That is this book right here, that you allow God to tell you what goes on in the living room, what goes in the kitchen, what goes in the bedroom, what goes in the study, what goes in the garage, what goes in the storage room. The Word of God is able to perfect, thoroughly furnish you unto all good works. But you're not going to know how to do that without this book right here. So don't miss the point. Number four was that Scripture perfects the servant. He matures, he completes the servant. A Bible preaching church will help you to grow in your faith, to mature in your faith. Now, can I show it to you just right in the Scripture? I love this. Look at verse 15. I'm going to ask you a question, all right? What word does Paul use under inspiration to call Timothy in verse 15? Would you look at verse 15? What word, what age does he talk about his Timothy's youth? I'm giving you a little hint there, his youth. What's that? How much more do I have to say here to get, what's he called, eh? He's called a child in verse 15, right? That from a child you have done what? You've known the Holy Scriptures, right? How many of you know that Timothy had a great mother and a great grandmother that obviously taught him the words of God? He had the Apostle Paul in his life. He was called a son in the faith. A lot of mentoring went on, took place. Then we get chapter verse 16. Then all scriptures given by inspiration of God's proper doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, that the, what's he now called in verse 17? So what's the middle, what's the transition between becoming a spiritual child and a spiritual man? The Word of God, the Bible, the Scripture. Did y'all get that? Did I logic with you enough about that? Hey, you want to grow up? Hey, you want our teenagers over here to grow up? All right, I've been picking on Brother Nathan. I've enjoyed that. Hi, Sam. I haven't gotten to see you. You've had some sick kids. So glad to see you tonight. My daughter was in their wedding, and they go back to West Coast days. All right, so we're all friends and buddies. What I loved about these kids right here, and Nathan, I know you know this as the youth pastor, and it's all well and good to have fun and games and activities and events and camps and all of that. And that's all good. Teenagers need that. Would you agree with me? But you know what teenagers need more than anything else? And that is the preaching of this book right here. Absolutely. That's why I loved on Saturday they had the preacher come in. Oh, they had some fun. They had games and all of that. And then they had a Bible message. Amen. You know why? Because the Bible's going to help them grow from children to be men. Little babies, remember Paul said to the Corinthians, I wish I could talk to you as a spiritual, but you're a bunch of carnal babies and you're fighting with each other and there's division and strife. And he said, I wish I could speak unto you as spiritual, but I can't. I wonder how many churches are like that because the Word of God has not been their meat, right? The milk of the Word is supposed to lead to the what? The meat of the Word. So I want you to see, this fourth point here, Scripture perfects the servant. And then lastly, notice back please 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 17. He ends the chapter there. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But then we get to the next chapter. And I think sometimes we think, well, there's one passage is now ended or one thought is now ended and now it's a whole different thought. Notice what he says in chapter 4 verse number 1. I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the... So watch me. Just because it's in a different chapter, don't tell me that when he says preach the word to this young Timothy man here, this young preacher boy, that he's not going back just three verses earlier about all scriptures given by inspiration of God. What is it you're supposed to be preaching, Timothy? Well, the word of God. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Oh, here we go. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Well, isn't that what verse 16 said the Bible does? Right? It's good for what? Talk to me. It's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. It's good for, and it's good for, and he's just reiterating. Hey, Timothy, preach the word. Hey, reprove, rebuke, exhort. There's the encouragement there that we spoke of today earlier. But the time will come, verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the... What we've already established tonight, where's the truth? Everybody look this way. So what's going to happen? They're turning their ears away from the Word, the truth of the Word of God. Here's my last point, and I'm done. The Scripture prosecutes society. The world in which we live, our generation, the Word of God brings a prosecution to it. The Word of God brings an indictment. We use that legal term. The Word of God says, this is what God says about what's going on in your culture. And he says, Timothy, as a young preacher, you're going to have to realize there are going to be some. They're not going to want to hear what you have to say because it's too hard. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus keep every follower of his, every disciple of his? No, many of them walked away. How often did they say, it's just too hard. We cannot do this. Scripture does prosecute our generation. It does give an indictment. The Word of God is very clear About the last days, for instance. How many believe we live in the last days? I believe it with all my heart. 2 Timothy 3. Last days, perilous times are going to come. Men shall be lovers of themselves and covetousness and disobedient to parents and on and on and on. You look at all of the ills of our society. The Word of God has already prosecuted and said, I told you this was going to happen. Judgment is coming. The Word of God tells us that. And so tonight, as we wrap up here, this thinking and this Bible conference this evening, of the importance of the Word of God, the manuscript, the Scriptures that we hold so dear. Oh yes, we said last night, often it seems as if it's been lost. Tonight was more, okay, we found it, we know it's important. What does it actually do? It produces salvation. If you're not saved tonight, come get saved. Because the Scriptures teach that you're a sinner, that Jesus was the Savior, that if you by faith and trust in Christ, in His shed blood and His death on the cross and His resurrection 3 days later, amen, that He will be your Savior. He'll wash away your sin. You can know that because of the authority of this book right here. But not only that, after He saves you, He wants you to grow. And He wants you to be corrected. He wants you to have some reproof. And all of these things tonight, the Scripture will do in our lives. I hope tonight that you will love the Word of God, but not just love it or say you love it, but that you will live it out in every area of your life.